Next up speaking is Michael Stolt. He's going to be talking about succession planning. He's got experience with family businesses grounded in his family's third generation farm up in Sprague, Washington. With over 10 years of experience in family business consulting, Michael blends lessons learned with an appreciation for farm, ranch, and agribusiness perspectives throughout the Northwest. Today, Michael is Northwest Farm Credit Services Senior Vice President of Customer and Employee Education, leading Northwest Farm Credit Services Customer Research, Customer and Employee Education, and Family Business Resources from up in their Spokane office. So I'm not going to eat up too much of Michael's time. Michael, come on up. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jason. All right, everyone. Well, I'm going to start my timer here so I know just where I'm at, and I get the enviable position of speaking to you after lunch. And what we know about lunch is, of course, blood goes to our stomach, we get tired, so I'm going to try to make this interesting for you. So the first thing, you know, what is Family Forge for the Real World all about? Well, if you were to look at dictionary.com, you'd see kind of two definitions. The first one is to form by heating and hammering, beat into shape. Now, as we talk about succession planning, I'll share with you, some folks say, yeah, dad or mom or the kids, beat into shape. That really resonates with me. But I like the second definition more, to form or make, especially by concentrated effort. Because really, I think as we think about succession planning, how you transfer businesses from one generation to the next, it's best when it's intentional. And what we're going to do today in about 45 minutes is I'm going to share stories with you from my 14 years on the road, working with farm and ranch families as diverse as the Great Northwest. And through that experience, I'll share with you some of their intentionalities, and hopefully we can learn from each other. Before we go any further, though, just a little bit about me. Jason gave a little introduction. So I grew up in Sprague, Washington, population 546 people. You're looking at the ASB president, FFA president, Wilbur in the high school play, and starting center on the high school football team. That's right. You can ask the question, how was the season? It was terrible. The good news, though, you're also dealing with the valedictorian. So we're going to be just fine. After Sprague, I went to Washington State University. I tell you what, Oregon State's my second favorite team in the Pac-12. Go Beavs, go Cougs. And then I went to Purdue. I was telling Jason, I studied in the Midwest for a while, and then went to Minneapolis, and I figured out what you all know in the room right here. We all live in God's country. So in 2000, I came back to the Northwest. We've been with Farm Credit ever since. You know, I also, when I begin presentations like this, I grew up on a farm and ranch, like Jason said. That's my brother there. And really, I share this picture because as we talk about family business and succession planning, what I want to share with you is this is not some academic, esoteric thing that I just kind of come up with. It's not only grounded in my experience as a family business consultant, it's grounded in my family's experience. I've seen the highs and lows as my grandfather and father worked through succession planning. My dad told me one day driving to the farm, he said, you know, Michael, the best days on this farm are the days when I don't see your grandpa. And I thought, it's got to be better than that. There's got to be something better than that. And I've also seen the highs and lows of my brother and father work together. And I understand how intentional you have to be as you begin to reset and look at those patterns. And more than that, I see my daughter and son, Hadley and August, named after his great-great-grandfather, and how they connect to Uncle Corey and the family farm. And as we look at those things, I bring both a head and a heart to you all in this audience, and I appreciate the time you've given me. But first, let's get some context. I'd like you all to stand up, right? This is after lunch. We're going to start moving a little bit. Everyone in the room, stand up. You probably know what we're going to do, right? That's right. Welcome to this afternoon, Salem, Oregon, right? So first, some context. I want you to sit down if you were in the first generation, anyone in the first generation of the business. Just one or two of you. You are the entrepreneurs. Welcome to business, and thank you for your creativity. Sit down if you're in the second generation. What? Okay, second generation, sometimes we say you're in what's called a sibling partnership. Mom and dad started, now you're working with brother or sister. Welcome, welcome. Third generation, sit down. Oh yeah, third generation, some of you sit down. Third generation, you're in what they call a cousin consortium. That's right, we're using bigger words now. It gets a little harder. All right, now look around you, fourth generation and down, congratulations. Those people fourth and beyond, we say that's a dynastic business. You've got a dynasty. That's right. It sounds big. What we know is that you figured out how to get these businesses from one generation to the next. Hasn't been easy, but at every chapter there's something to learn. So let's look at some of those lessons. And as we look at this, we're going to take a common sense approach to succession planning. This isn't something where I'm going to sit down and give you step-by-step guidance. At the end, I'll share where to go, but we're going to really tell some stories and hopefully have some fun together. So I'm going to share stories from the road. Why is succession planning a priority? What gets in the way? And how do I start? So let's look at this first question. Why is succession planning a priority? If any of you were to go to Franklin Covey, you know, Franklin Covey does a whole lot on leadership and lessons learned, and you said, how can I be more productive? They would give you a lesson in productivity that had a graph like this. They would say, priorities are things that are important and they're urgent. Would anyone in the room debate that succession planning is important? God, we got fourth generation, third generation, second generation businesses. No, it's really important. However, oftentimes succession planning is not seen to be urgent. In fact, I've got a little quiz for you. Do any of you know what the first step in succession planning is? The very first step. Just think about it. What's the first step? Oh, I got to go to the attorney. No, I got to go to the accountant. Maybe I got to talk to my family. No, it's none of those. It's actually procrastination. It's procrastination. You know you need to do it, but you just don't get off center. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk with you around why should succession planning be a priority. So I'm going to give you a few little lessons. The first one is everyone's thinking about it. If I were to wander around the hallway after I give a speech like this, someone's going to come to the family business guy from Farm Credit, and they're going to talk to me about their family business. And sometimes it can be a senior generation, and they'll say, gosh, I just don't want to talk about it because it seems to be about mortality and death. You know what? I have just the opposite experience, though. It's really a celebration, folks. It's about an opportunity. You've positioned your business in a place that the next generation has an opportunity to live out their vision for the future and work with their family. I'll tell you a little story about that person who grabs me in the hallway, though. Sometimes it's the next generation. The next generation comes up to me, they say, yeah, Michael, I heard your presentation, but mom and dad just don't want to talk about it. Just won't talk about it. And I'll say, well, tell me how you start the conversation. You know, junior comes up and he or she says, well, you know, I start with mom, dad, you're going to die. And, you know, I don't know about you folks, but I have found mortality not to be a great icebreaker. You know, so if you're in the next generation, I would suggest maybe starting like this. Mom and dad, I have worked in this business or grew up around it, and I am so honored to be the next generation. I'm excited about future opportunities, and what I understand is that opportunities don't present themselves unless we're intentional about how we make the most of them. So I'd love to have a conversation with you that honors where you've been. Here's another reason it's important. Succession planning maximizes your options. You know, folks like you in agriculture, like my dad, my brother, you want lots of options. And if we remember the first step is procrastination, the longer we procrastinate, we know options start to go away. And worst case, all you're doing left in the middle, if you're the person who is the matriarch or patriarch in that business, is you're left alone. Let me give you a little story. I worked with a business, and mom and dad came to me, and they were in their 70s. After a talk like this, and they said, you know, Michael, I think we better start working on succession planning. I said, great, let's have a session. They got son and daughter-in-law there who were in their 50s, just had a knee replacement. And in the middle of our work together, all of a sudden the patriarch started tearing up. Everyone stopped, looked at dad, said, Dad, what's wrong? Dad looked around at the room. He said, it occurs to me I've started this too late. Now, as you think about why Dad would have felt that way, Dad and Mom's vision for the business was something very different. They had grown the business. It had increased in scale and scope. And at that point, when their successors were in their 50s, their personal passions and interests in the business did not fit the size and scope of that business today. So the business had fewer options available to it. And that succession plan went in a way where they actually downsized and spun off a bunch of the business because there was no successor. So start early. Have lots of options. Here's another one. Succession planning equips the next generation. That should be a priority, right? So often, though, as I work with young men and women, it's kind of this sink-swim environment, right? And when I talk to moms and dads, and I'll say, geez, why do you set it up like that? You know what they tell me? They say, well, what do you think they say? Well, he or she grew up here. They should just know it. Now, I've learned something in working with succession planning. Growing up there is a little bit like riding in the back seat of the car and expecting to know how you got there. Any of you ever done that? You're on a road trip and someone says, well, how did we get there? I don't know, I was in the back seat. And this doesn't take anything away from the young men and women who are in your businesses, but being in the back seat and have your hands on the steering wheel are very different things. Let me tell you a story that I had from a family I was honored to work with. Their son just got back from Iraq. And he joined the business with his fiance, and mom and dad were so excited to have, man, the next generation joining the business, you know, a veteran. There was tons of pride there. 6 months, I get a call. And when I do my interviews, I get a call from the son, and he says something like the following. He says, Michael, this is not going great. I said, tell me more. He said, when I was in the military, I had clear expectations and thorough training, and then I came back to the farm. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and moreover, when I'm told what to do, I don't know how to do it. Dad's not giving me any training. And then I talked to Dad. I said, Dad, how are things going? He said, not good, Michael. He said, Junior doesn't know a thing about the farm, and he grew up here. Well, Dad's way of training was something called RMM, read my mind, right? That doesn't work either. So look at succession planning in a way that equips the next generation. Here's another one that should make succession planning a priority. It maintains your business and family. So if I was to go out to any one of your operations right now and visit your shop, I bet it might look kind of like that picture there. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't know if the floor would be that clean, though, because that floor is very clean, unlike any shop I've been in. But you take your equipment into the shop, you take the shields off, and you work on it, right? When's the last time you took time to focus on your family like you do your equipment? And in fact, if I could have renamed this presentation, having heard the speaker before, I would have called it something like the following. Your seeds remember, your kids do too. Yeah, let it settle in a little bit, right? Your kids do too. And as you think about working on your family, it's a little bit like preventative maintenance with regard to both your family relationships as well as your business. Additionally, there's something there called invest in economic and emotional value. Now, right at that moment, about half of the people in the room said, oh my gosh, here we go, kumbaya session. It's not that at all. In fact, I'll give you a very pragmatic reason to invest in the economic and emotional value in your farm or ranch or seed company. Say you saw this wedding ring on my finger, and one of you came up afterwards and you said, hey, Michael, I love that wedding ring. Tell you what, I'll give you $10,000 for it. I bet your wife only paid $400. I'd say, no, I can't. You know, my wife, she's my best friend. She's beautiful. You said, I get it, 20. I said, no. And you'll say, okay, it's priceless. Why is the ring priceless? I get a lot of emotional value in my ring, don't I? Some of you are thinking he's a fool. Sell it. I'm making an analogy here. On the other hand, say that you saw me next year at a conference and you came up to me and said, Michael, where's that ring? I loved it. You know, I would have bought it off you. I notice you're not wearing it. Oh my gosh. You know, I say, Janine and I, we had a big divorce, we're done, and I threw her out the window going up to I-5. You said, I get it. What happened to the emotional value of my ring? It went to zero. The ring, though, still had economic value, didn't it? Still whatever my wife paid for it. Maybe if you wanted to buy it, a bunch of money. The analogy there, though, is family business is a little bit like this ring. To just not take time to invest in the emotional value in a family business finds people making decisions that economically make no sense because they get so frustrated or so tired of what's going on in the business. So take time and pull your family into the shop and make succession planning a priority. Here's another one. Succession planning develops an intentional legacy, right? People say, Michael, what does success look like in a succession plan? I'll give you a really simple example. You know, close your eyes for a second and imagine you're driving down that driveway from your farm. You're driving down the driveway and all of a sudden you and your partner look in the rearview mirror and you look at the next generation there and you turn to each other and you say, my God, they're doing it as good, if not better, than we ever did it. Congratulations, Mom and Dad. You are incredible coaches. Incredible coaches. That's an intentional legacy. So often, though, in family business, we look at that next generation. When they do a few things different, we get frustrated. You know, they're going to do things differently. But succession planning can supercharge what you've got both in your family as well as what you've got in your business. And finally, if some of you in the room are saying, none of those things make it a priority to me, think about this final thing. Getting off center and working on succession planning helps you and your family business sustain and grow wealth. Because really, the next generation are your wealth managers. If you're going to still own the land and they're going to take it over, you want a crop share. You want a cash rent. You want a return on that. And ultimately, that creates shareholder value. So ask yourself this, what are you doing to equip your portfolio manager, which is the next generation, as you look at all those agricultural assets you've got? So we're starting to roll right here, right? Succession planning should be a priority in your business. But at that same time, what gets in the way? So why then won't we work on this? Geez, when I went around the room and said, gosh, stand up, first generation, second generation, third generation, a lot of you were standing, so I assume you're in family businesses. And you don't have to raise your hands, but if I ask how many of you have addressed succession planning, I bet there's some of you who think about it because everyone's talking about it, you haven't done anything yet. So let's look at some of the things why we don't do it. And as we look at that, what I hope we can do is understand it, anticipate it, and then get around those hurdles. Well, the first one, poor communication. No surprise, right? Anyone who talks about succession planning talks about communication as a challenge. Do you know why communication in family business is especially hard? I'll give you an example. Now, I bet this doesn't surprise any of you. Every family is dysfunctional. Every family is dysfunctional. We all got stuff, right? Family businesses, though, are like an amplifier on all those dysfunctions that every family has. So as you begin to think about your family business and maybe having conversations with those you work with, communication naturally is hard, and you're not alone. In fact, let me tell you a little story. So it probably doesn't surprise you that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, my phone gets really busy. People go home for Thanksgiving, someone says, hey, how is the family business going? Because they don't separate family and business, so it's all there at one time, and they have a little blow up. So I get a call, and they say, Michael, how's it going? I think we need to have a succession planning talk. I'll say, great. So one of these clients that I've worked with called me up between Christmas and Thanksgiving. I said, hey, Joe, how are you? Joe said, Michael, I'm terrible. I said, why are you terrible, Joe? Joe said, every day I show up, there is a letter on my desk. I said, Joe, that is not a big deal. You've got a business, you got lots of stuff going on, you get lots of correspondence. Joe said, no, Michael, the challenge is that letter's from my brother. I said, well, Joe, what does it say? Now I'm gonna give, let's stop the story. How many of you think the letter went something like this? Dear Joe, I just got up this morning and wanted to write a top 10 list about why I love working with you, my beloved brother. You're the wind beneath my wings, Joe. I can't wait to see you. No, some of you just puked in your mouth, didn't you? God, Michael. No, the letter was how angry his brother was at him. So what do you think Joe did? What does Joe do? He procrastinated, and how did Joe follow up with his brother when he finally followed up with him? Murder. No, guy, you're a tough audience today. I've got to pause and just reflect on that one for a second, get a drink of water, man alive. No, Joe wrote a letter back to his brother, right? And so it went until the next call I got from Joe. I said, Joe, how are you? He goes, not good, I broke my hand. I said, why did you break your hand, Joe? He put his hand through the wall of the office. Instead of hitting drywall, he hit a stud and broke his hand. So don't be Joe. That's a lesson, right? Here's another one why sometimes we don't talk about succession planning. Would it surprise you that when you all get together in your business, you're going to have a difference of opinion? In fact, we want a difference of opinion, right? Henry Ford said if there are two people in the room and each of them have the same opinion, one of them is unnecessary. Yeah, Henry Ford wanted people around him who were going to have different opinions. Yet in family businesses, we look at decision making, we kind of get tensed up around this idea that we're going to have a difference of opinion. And one of these observations that my mentor, Don Jonovic, makes, he says, family business is like whitewater. He said, you know, for those of you who kind of sat down when you're in the first generation of business, decision making is like a kayak trip. You're nimble. You're able to make those decisions quickly. You don't have to talk to a lot of people. You just make them. That's why you got in business, by God, to be your own person. Then all of a sudden, though, we move to the raft. Second generation businesses, you're in the sibling partnership. Third generation, you've got cousin consortiums. Fourth generation, you've got family and non-family employees sometime, and you're trying to figure out who's got the rudder. Who even wants to be in the boat? Do we want to go the same direction? Do we have people in the right place? Gets a lot more confusing. And if you're going to ask me, just recognize the difference between being in the raft and the kayak. Oftentimes, when I work with family businesses, one of the biggest mistakes that occurs is they don't realize things have changed. You've got perhaps mom or dad or son or daughter trying to run the business just like that. The reality is though, we have to talk to each other and make decisions together. Here's another reason I think that sometimes succession planning hits the skids. Fear of conflict. There's something I call the one degree of separation. You know, even in our normal relationship with one another, we can have something that just gets between you and me. I have it at Farm Credit. You know, I work with colleagues and teammates, and sometimes we don't see things the same way. And there's this one little thing that if we don't address it, I know it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Now think about your family businesses you're in. How often has there been one thing that's got under your craw, right? You gunny sack it. You don't talk about it. If we address it, it's not that big. But if we don't address it, it gets so big that when we finally do have that conversation, we forget why we're so angry, and it's really hard to come together and create consensus. Let me give you another story. I worked with a family business where this father-son pair, I thought, were the ideal. God, you know, I just looked at them, and I wanted to adopt them. They were so awesome. And then I had my interviews, because I always interview, and I interviewed Dad first. I said, hey, is there anything I need to know about idiosyncrasies? Things that make relating to each other hard. And the dad said, yeah. He said, you need to know about the following. He said, you know, as I get older, I want to golf more and work less. I said, that sounds great. He said, yeah, he does. And he said, you know, I think I should actually take a lower pay cut. I should take less pay from the business, because I'm not working as much, I'm golfing more. He said, but you know what? I don't know how to bring this up to Junior because I don't want Junior to think I'm not committed to his success. I said, okay. Then I interviewed Junior. I said, Junior, is there anything I should know about as you consider, or as I consider working with you and your dad? Any idiosyncrasies in the business? And Junior said, yeah, there are, Michael. And keep in mind, I thought this was the best example of father-son work together I've ever seen. He said, you know, Dad, as he gets older, he's working less and playing more golf. And he said, I love that, because I want Dad to do that. He said, but Michael, Dad is still taking the same pay from the business. He said, I really think Dad should take less, but ... I don't know how to tell Dad it because I don't want him to think I don't honor and respect him. If it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here. Now pause. Do any of you understand the interesting thing around that situation? Did Dad and son want the same thing there? Yep. Was that one degree of separation? You bet. If they would have sat down at a tailgate and just had a conversation around that, it would have been okay. However, I can tell you in this relationship, this perfect father and son, we're getting further and further apart simply because they were afraid to talk to each other about something they both wanted. So that's another reason I think sometimes succession planning can be a challenge. Oops. Here's another one. Stuck in yesterday thinking. You know, when you start talking about succession planning, people are going to have different ideas about how things should be done. And we all know it. If you ever ask, why do we do it that way? What's the answer we sometimes hear? Hey, why do we do it that way? That's the way we've always done it, right? That's the way we've always done it. And it can go both ways, too. I've got another story here. It's a rock rake. What's a rock rake around? What is a rock rake about? Well, I worked with a family business that brought in a son-in-law. And this son-in-law came from the tech industry, and he had lots of different ideas for the business. He was a hustler. He's bringing new business ideas back. He was looking at custom farming opportunities. He was shaking it up. Do you think in a planning session we talked about these new business ventures and capital investments? No, that wasn't where the conflict was. Do you know where the conflict was? I spent an hour facilitating a meeting around why the son-in-law didn't rake the gravel in the machine shed before he put away the equipment for winter. I can't make it up, folks. You think about stuck in yesterday. Yeah, just let that one settle in. Can you imagine being that son-in-law? Or maybe some of you are that son-in-law. The point of that one is that sometimes we have to recognize our paradigms and shift and change, and also not let decisions like the rake and the gravel get in the way of moving forward. Here's another one, too, that can sometimes get in the way of succession planning. Not empowering and stepping up. You know, succession planning is a two-way street. You know, I get frustrated when mom and dad tell me, Junior just won't step up. I also get frustrated, though, when Junior tells me he or she doesn't step up. You know, it's both parts. You know, if you're in the senior generation, my experience is the senior generation has to step back enough to create the kind of sunlight that allows the next generation to grow. On the other hand, the next generation has to demonstrate the kind of ambition that gives the senior generation confidence. So I got another story for you here. Do any of you know what this is? What is that? You can say it out loud. That is a class one manure spreader. So there was this dairy I worked with, and the dad had the son come back to the business. In fact, if you want to talk about not empowering the next generation, welcome them in open arms and say, your day-to-day activity is spreading crap. No joke. So guess what happened when I did my interviews in this family business? I interviewed Junior. I said, Junior, tell me about the business. He said, oh man, I hate it, Michael. I said, why do you hate it? He said, every day I hop in this truck and I spread manure on our farm and the neighbor's farm. Dad says I'm the nutrient management engineer. I said, what have you done about it? Have you described that to Dad? Junior said, no, what are you talking about? I said, well, I think, have you talked to him about it? He goes, no, I just complain. Now, he didn't say it just like that. That's my inference, right? But then I talked to Dad. I said, Dad, what's going on in the business? He said, oh, my gosh. He said, I don't know, Michael. Junior comes to work every day, and he's kind of unhappy. You know, I thought I really found a place where he can find purpose and passion and really, no, he didn't say that. I said, well, why do you think Junior's unhappy, Dad? Could it be because he put in the manure truck every day? Yeah, it is. But the point of that story is that so often, yeah, you know, moms and dads, sons and daughters, it's not perfect. And we should expect that gears will grind as we each find our place, but it does require, on one hand, moms and dads to give people opportunity. On the other hand, it really requires the next generation to ask for help and share what you want. And finally, here's a reason that I think sometimes succession planning doesn't get started. You know, it's kind of forgetting we're all like milk. Now, why would I say that? Forgetting we're all like milk. You know what, folks? We all expire. We just don't have the date stamped on us like a gallon of milk. And I don't want to be morbid here, but the reality is we do all expire. And succession planning will happen. The question is, does it happen on your terms or someone else's? And most every farmer and rancher I've worked with wants to influence their future, and yet they don't do it. In fact, I've got a great story on this one. I was at a session it was a meeting in Eugene, just down the road. And I gave a presentation like this, and one family came up to me, and they were so excited. I could tell they were waiting to talk to me. They were in the corner, kind of eyeing me. And they said, Michael. I said, yeah, how are you? And they were people I knew from the road. They said, great. They said, we got to tell you about something we did, and that gallon of milk thing inspired it. They said, we went to the coast and had a die-in. I said, a what? I said, sorry, the enthusiasm you're demonstrating is not consistent with my interpretation of what you just said. They said, we had a die-in, D-I-E space I-N. I said, a die-in, what's that about? They said, oh, I got to tell you about it. We went to the coast, we rented a big house. One of those big ones, you know, like you'll see over there in the Oregon coast on VRBO. And they said, we had lots of fun. And of course, I'm interested now because I think a die-in, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. They said, yeah, let me tell you what we did, the best part. They said, we got everyone who works in the business together and we drew their names out of a hat. And if your name get called, guess what? You're dead. And he said, here was the ground rule. You had to sit back and listen. You couldn't speak. And you had to listen to the family business begin to respond to your loss. And we had to understand who knew what, where the biggest holes were, and who was doing their job and training their successors and who wasn't. All of a sudden, and they said, well, how'd it go? They said, great. They said, we understood in three of the spots in the business, we are just fine. We're covered. In one of the spots, though, we had holes we didn't even know about until we went around and looked. And I said, what are you doing from there? They said, we're closing those holes. Because they got it. They knew that we all are like milk and we expire. Hopefully, a long, long time from today, but eventually, we need to build our successors. So if I haven't convinced you yet that succession planning is important and a priority, or if you've bumped into some of those hurdles that I've talked about and you're like, hey, I'm not alone. There are ways to get around those. I'm going to tell you now how to get around those hurdles with some resources. And the first one is never stop learning, right? You know, I like Henry Ford and some of his quotes. I know he wasn't perfect. One of the ones he said really resonates with me, though. He said, you know, whether you're 20 or 80, you're never old as long as you keep learning. And I love that for succession planning, because so often I think, you know, the senior generation can look at the next generation and think, oh my gosh, you know, how do we get there? And I'll share with you, the next generation needs to look at that senior generation and also do some reverse mentorship. Now, I'll tell you where I learned that one. I had one of our new hires come up to me, and he or she said, hey, Michael, I am going to reverse mentor you. Now, I'll tell you what, at first I thought, what the hell is this all about? Maybe a little bit like a mom and dad, but I said, you know what, actually, I want to be reverse mentored. I want to stay connected. I want to stay hip. I want to understand what's going on. And guess what? Mom and dad does too. So as we look at succession planning, I really do think approach it in a way where senior generation teaches next generation, and next generation, take a moment or two to try and teach the senior generation what you know. And how should you do that? Connect and meet regularly. You know, if communication is one of the biggest roadblocks to making this thing work, actually take time to talk to each other intentionally. And also, revisit your plan. You know, things change, your plan should too. Because one thing we know is once you build that succession plan, it shouldn't be a dusty, dirty document. It should be a little bit like my Sunday school teacher once told me a beautiful Bible looks. You know what a beautiful Bible looks like? Sunday school teacher said, it's one that's tattered and torn and has coffee all over it. Your succession plan should look like a beautiful Bible. It should be torn and tattered because you should be pulling it out and looking at it and updating it over time. And finally, if you're sitting here and saying, man, Michael, you've made me uncomfortable. Great. That's what I wanted to do. I want to make you uncomfortable and share some stories that you could hopefully connect to, because there are resources available to you. You know, if you want to learn more and you've said, wait, I understand this is a priority. I understand the things that are getting in our family's way are normal, because every family's got a little bit of dysfunction. Where do I go from here? You can learn more. First thing is, and this isn't a Farm Credit commercial, these are available on our website to all of you, because we want to make sure that we serve the industry. You can look at the basics. We've got a family business succession guide where we actually give you the same guide that we use in our consulting practice. We also have webinars and e-learning where you can look at different tips and tricks, and we write family business articles. And you might say, well, that's not enough, Michael. You can consider starting the conversation. And I got to share with you, the timing for this is perfect, as we have this retreat that we hold every year. And in this retreat, we bring in gurus. We bring in gurus to talk about how do you get the assets from one generation to the next and minimize the tax consequences. It's a big deal. We also bring in my mentor, Don Jonovic, who used to write an article in Successful Farming. And he talks about the soft-sided parts of succession planning. And then me and my colleagues who work in this space are available to help folks start that conversation. And here's the best part of this meeting. It's in Portland, just up the road. It might be in Spokane other years or Boise. And you don't have to be a customer to attend this one. This one's open to customers and non-customers alike. So if you're interested, go to our website, check it out. And it's really meant to be attended by moms and dads and sons and daughters, the whole family. Because what we're hoping is we create a catalyst to start that conversation. And then finally, you might say, well, Michael, I can look at those tools and I might go to a retreat, but I really want to talk to a consultant. Here's another thing that's pretty great. We have office hours every other week. If you go to our website, you can go to a webinar. It's free. And for an hour or two, myself or my colleague field questions from folks. You know, you might, sometimes those questions go like this. Hey, Michael, my neighbor has a father-son issue, and here's how it goes. Who's the neighbor? It's you. I just gave you a tip and trick how to engage those conversations. You never talk about yourself on those webinars, my gosh. Everyone's listening. But the neighbor, you can talk about them all day long. And finally, if you're saying, you know what, I've just bumped into this, and I think we really need help, you can call us up, and if you're a customer, we can look at our own succession planning practice. And if you're not a customer, we're happy to give you a list of other folks that do this work in a very, very great way, and they're available to you as well. Our biggest thing is we know, I think, gosh, it changes. The average age of producers is around 58 years old. We're a co-op. We're owned by farmers, ranchers, agribusinesses, fishermen and women, forest products companies, and we want folks to get resources in this area. And if you're a customer, that's great. And if you're a non-customer, we also want you to have these resources. So finally, if you're saying, well, Michael, I know it's a priority. I recognize that those challenges we face were normal, and I know I can get help. Here are some simple next steps. Visit our website. Click on resources. Click family business. And maybe check out a family business office hour and talk about the neighbor. Or you can call us or email us. around whatever it is you've got a question around family business, and we will orient you or point you in the right direction. So with that, Jason, I have done my best to keep us on track. We're at about 35 minutes. I do have time for questions. Yeah, I have time for questions, and I love questions. So with that, folks, does anyone have a question around? Let's try it. Here's a ground rule. My neighbor. Does anyone have any questions? After 14 years, I haven't seen it all. I've seen a lot. I can do the. Yeah, hey, there we go.
So, do you think that you would have good tools or help for people whose children at this point are not interested in continuing the family business?
Yeah, so the question is, do we have tools available for people who aren't interested in the family business? I have a great story on that one. I could have set you up for that one. So one of the most heartwarming stories I've had in my entire experience in consulting was with a mom and dad whose son and daughter didn't want to come back to the family business. And this father and mother, let's call them a husband and wife team, were so committed, though, to their business and what they saw as a great opportunity, they went out to the community. And they actually found a young man who went to school with their daughter. And this guy went to Oregon State, actually. All the trucks are painted orange, interestingly. So go Beavs. And they built a succession plan for that non-family member to come back to their business. And I'll share with you, you might think, how in the world would that work? It's working great. I worked with that family for, this is going to sound like a long time, 10 years. 10 years, because they started early, because they knew that they had to start to talk about, here's where we're at, here's how we want to train this young man who's now in his 40s. And what they wanted to do is make sure that the young man was building a balance sheet so they could capitalize the buyout of the operating entity. And I will share with you in that case, that mom or that husband and wife pair also helped out that young man with, there was no blue sky in the buyout. So that guy bought the equipment line for what it was worth, not for the blue sky. So these tools can work. The biggest lesson I learned in working with a non-family successor is you've got to be super clear, just as clear as you would be with your son and daughter. I can tell you another story where I worked with a non-family successor where they weren't clear. And here's what people do when you work with non-family successors. Lots of people do it. They'll say, this will be great. I will let you farm this little piece off on the side. You know, they hired actually someone from an agronomy company to come work for their business, non-family successor. Well, guess, would it surprise you that the people you hire who you want to be your successor are every bit as ambitious as you? So what do you think happens when you start to say, I've got this piece, you can go farm on your own over here? What happens? They want to start growing their own business. So all of a sudden, questions around what crop gets seeded first, questions on how do we harvest, begins to create a lot of dysfunction. In fact, one of my favorite sayings is, family businesses love to systematize dysfunction. You actually create it. So it's a great question. Can these tools work for situations where there's not a family member coming back? Absolutely. And in fact, these tools are even more important because in that journey of 10 years, we've got that successor position both with skills and a balance sheet. Then we brought in these kids who were off farm because what the successor wanted to make sure was that the lease was long term and he had a first right of refusal because he did not want the kids to pull out when mom and dad died. Great question. Yeah. Thank you so much for asking one. Appreciate the courage. Any other? I think we have time for one or more. One more. I'll final tip for you. You know, it's the holiday season. I love holidays. When I come down, I always turn on the radio to Sirius and listen to Chris. Actually, it's Charlie. Charlie, 97.1 is what I'm listening to in your area, I think, right now. Don't have these conversations at the Christmas or whatever holiday you want to have deal, right? If you're going to have these conversations, what I suggest you do, and I'm a realist, it might be the only time the family's together, but don't have it during the dinner, don't have it when you open presents, don't have it when you go to whatever service you do. What you can do, though, is maybe the next day after the holiday, take time aside and say, hey, family, I really think we need to have an intentional conversation here. And I understand that the best time to do it is when we're all here, off-farm family members like me as well as on-farm family members, and then make that time distinct and then put a bookend on it and say, you know what? We're only going to book maybe an hour or two for this conversation. Here's what we want to cover, and we're not going to get all the way through, but we just want to start the conversation. So with that, folks, thanks so much for the opportunity. It's always a privilege and honor when groups like you give me time, and I do hope if you have any follow-up questions, you just give us a call or email. Those emails generally make their way to me or my colleague. So with that, Jason, thank you so much. Good luck in the rest of your conference. Good luck. Godspeed, everyone. Bye-bye.